Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, YouTube, Spotify, you know the deal, wherever you're listening to us. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Nicole. You know, I think it's been a while since you've been on with an adult star. I know we had Sage Sin on not too long ago. Although we did have our friend KCT girl in January, so I think that's the last time.
I think so.
And before then, I don't think we had one for 2 years. But I'll tell you what, if we're gonna have one, we got quite the star here, multi award winner in the AVN Awards, the XBiz Awards, Urban X Awards. She's won so many awards, and she deserves it. She put the B in BBW, and I mean beautiful. Here she is. Sophia Rose.
Well, thank you for that. That's quite an introduction.
Well, am I lying?
You're not. You're not wrong. Yeah.
And we may have met before, and that's we're going to start with that. But before we do,
okay,
I do have to say, I'm going to have to match your energy because I've been listening to a lot of shows with you and listening to you and thoroughly researching your content and see how energetic you are. So I'm going to need some of this if I can get it in the camera. It's Raise energy drink. There it is. Raise.
Oh, yum.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you drink energy drinks, but this is the best if you do.
All right.
Oh, there it is. It keeps appearing and disappearing because of my stupid Zoom background, but there it is. Raise energy. I got to put it in front of my face. Raise energy drink. This is the best. This is Baja lime flavor. It tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell. And the best part about it, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. Let me take a sip of this. That's delicious. And you can get these at GNCs. You can get them at vitamin shops. But why pay full price? Look at the link in the show description on Renegade Radio, on Podcast Catchers, on YouTube. You can get 15% off a case, any flavor you want. We may have met before. I don't know if we have. Because
You seem familiar, but... I meet so many people, so I don't always remember until we start to talk about the last time. Then I'm like,
not as familiar as I'd like. So we've never had sex, and trust me, I would remember that.
I would too.
But you won the first prize at BBWCon 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there.
Oh, okay.
So I likely interviewed you and asked you a bunch of stupid questions.
There are no stupid questions.
Oh, there were some stupid questions I asked. Like, I can ask them again. Like, if a guy bought you dinner, would it be a very expensive bill?
Yeah, I feel like I do remember that.
Yeah, and
they sounded like fun questions, not necessarily stupid.
And what's your favorite food? Stuff like that.
Yeah. Those are all good questions. I think.
Well, here's what I got to talk to you about the BBW cons, because on my YouTube channel, the two videos I put from BBWCon exponentially were the most viewed videos on my channel. Like half a million views. And they took one off. And I'm still trying to get it back on. Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
And I think what the offense was, and I don't know if you were involved in this, but there was a guy who paid to rub oil on two very large girls' butts. I don't know if one of those was yours.
I don't think so, because that's not usually something I would allow, but it's something I've had the worst experience with YouTube. I've had 9 channels. They've all been removed. I don't even bother. I won't even subscribe. I won't even create a channel. I'm so angry. Like, they can just kiss my fat ass.
Right. Well, here's... So I guess we likely have met before. I can't believe I don't remember. But my whole point is, and I was telling Nicole this, because... we're both on weight loss journeys, oddly enough. I've lost 60 pounds, and Nicole has been on a diet for Comic-Con. She's lost a lot of weight, but I tell her that men love big women.
That is very true.
And not only that, the video that's still up, I asked Alexis Allure at the BBWCon, you know, about that, and she said most of her clients are married men.
Mm-hmm.
And that their wives are skinny and they want their wives to be bigger. And that's why they fantasize about bigger women. That's what they like.
I think that a lot of men like they like variety. And I think that what happens is it's not that they like a bigger woman. It's that they like a woman who's confident in her body and not saying, I don't want to have sex or engage in bedtime activities because I'm self-conscious. And you take that shit off and own it. And men are attracted to that. And it's, I don't think it has to do with a woman being skinny or 20 pounds heavier or 100 pounds heavier than she should be. It's what she's comfortable and confident in. That's really what I believe.
Really?
Well, and most of the men in my experience have been, you know, gym rats, very fit men.
Yeah.
And it's not like, and then there's the societal pressure. So when you bring into the societal, you know, perspective, then it's like, well, this woman is socially acceptable, so she'll be my wife. But in secret, I would rather be with this. It's just not
Sophia Rose.
It's not okay. So
now, how do you
that's been changing.
And I'm like, I'm hoping that's changing because I think
it's
like,
very much changed.
Yeah. I think that you should be able to be with anyone regardless of size. If you like them, you like them.
You should be with somebody, whoever you want to be, regardless of anything.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares if they have a disability? Who cares if they're overweight? Who cares if they're underweight? If they're a tiny person, if they're extraordinarily tall, if they're, you know, they non-binary, however they want to, you know what I mean? We all just need to be accepting of what people want to do. If you're not hurting someone else, leave everyone alone. That's just how I feel.
I went to a club last night and I'm not plus size. I'm a medium size, and I'm just trying to lose weight for my own personal reasons.
Right.
But I tried to go to the same club like 4 months ago, and the door guy did not let me in. Like I was not his ideal type. I was not what was permittable for his club. I had no problem getting in today or last night because the guy wasn't there. But it's so funny how people get these ideas in their mind of what is socially acceptable. I think you should be able to be with whoever you want to be with. Like, I don't think that he was having his hangups, but the other door guys didn't see that stuff at all. Like, I think a lot of those things are just in your fucking head. What do you think is appropriate and what isn't?
On the other hand, this is from the woman that said she wouldn't date me because I'm too much man for her. But Sophia, how do you have this confidence? Because you do exude confidence. And it's funny because everybody I've shown your picture to is like, even guys that are typically not into bigger women are like,
right.
I don't know. There's something about her. She's sexy.
I hear that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. And trust me, I'm into it and I agree. You're sexy.
Thank you. That right there is the it factor, I think, is you're born with it or not. I think that's something you can acquire. And I don't know how I have it, but I know that my mom is like this and you know, I have brothers that are just kind of like magnets. We're just sex magnets. I don't know.
So you've always been a sex magnet.
And it's not a good thing. Right. But there's something that people sense that I exuded, and I don't know what that is. And I'm not even really aware of it. I'm only aware because people have always told me about it. You know, like you just, as far as the confidence, it's the same thing. People ask me, how does that happen? I don't know. But it was the way I was raised. Is what I think. A lot of the things that women question and doubt themselves with, I was never fed those narratives. I was always, you're going to do everything. I have 8 younger brothers. You're going to do everything as good as the boys do, or be able to do everything that the boys can do. My mom was, everything the boys can do, you will do better. So there was just this, I was never thought I was the little woman. I was one of the boys. I was the king. I was born that way. Like I was the oldest and born kind of in charge and just, you know,
you bullied your younger brothers.
I would never say I've heard that before. I bullied. I was not a bully, but I was, my parents did definitely make me I'm the threat.
The disciplinarian.
Yeah. You know, it was always, we're going to get your sister. And it's really weird because we're all very much grown adults now. And that still maintains today.
Right.
Like, it's just how I was raised, how I was empowered as a young girl and into my, you know, being a young woman. And it's just carried me through life. And, you know, I've gone through my own, you know, I didn't have the best childhood as far as, you know, my life experiences and stuff. So I think that those surviving and coping and getting through those things have all made me stronger. And, yeah. you know, they find you, you find your strength. And some of my brothers have gone through similar, you know, things. Obviously we were raised together and they are, you know, more passive and more in a victim mindset. And I am not, I'm the exact opposite. So it's personalities that this also, I just think that when people say, where does that confidence come? If I could bottle it up and give it out to people, I would. I can't explain it. It's just how I am. I have my moments of insecurity though, just like everyone else. And I don't want people to think that I just, you know, think so highly of myself.
Well, you should. You're an award-winning porn star.
Right. I know what I've achieved. I know what I've accomplished, and I am proud of those things. And I know that they're deserved, and I carry those proudly. But what I'm saying is, we all have our moments of insecurity or self-doubt, and I think that that's normal and somewhat healthy because it keeps you always wanting to strive for better or have goals.
Do you feel you have a more masculine or feminine approach to life then?
In general, I think it's a little bit more masculine. Yes. I'm definitely an alpha female that has a hard time with, you know, I challenge alpha men. I'm not intimidated easily by men. But that is just the way I was, you know, you grow up in a male rich environment. I'm not intimidated in those situations like other women because I was raised in it. So it's just normal to me. I don't even think about I should not feel safe or I should be intimidated in this room. Like, it doesn't even occur to me to process that way. Does that make sense? And that's just and other women will do stuff and I'm like, oh, I should be worried about that. Like, there's been a lot of moments for me where I'm like, I didn't think to, it just doesn't occur to me. And that's the upbringing. That's like, you know, I wasn't taught to be intimidated by my brothers. So I am not intimidated by my brothers and I'm not therefore intimidated by many men. It takes a certain kind. I mean, you have to be standing there ready, you know, to physically hurt me with an object or something for me to, and even then I'm probably going to fight you.
I bet you.
And kick your ass. Yeah. But no, I was going to say in the Latin community, it's usually the firstborn son that rules the house, but it sounds like you were the firstborn. You were not a son and you ruled the house.
Yes, I did. And that's just weird because yes, the firstborn son did, you know, named after my dad and all the traditional things, but mm-hmm. was not raised with that. Like the firstborn son doesn't carry the confidence I carry. He's a very, right. He lives in a victim mentality, sadly. I don't communicate with him much anymore because it's very frustrating for me. Like, why are you like this? Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm always like, grow a pair. I just, you know, I don't know. It that's just really how I think. And I don't like to say I'm a bully. I mean, he's in his 40s. Come on. Wrap on a pair, man.
Kidding like, about the bullying, but
yeah, no. But I've been told that before. And I don't think I bullied my brothers. Because I loved and comforted them as much and protected them as much as I did feel like, come on, you know, like, get with the program.
You think maybe you did too much? Comfort them too much?
No,
they're a little more passive than you.
My mom. My mom's right. Great, but I feel like she's coddled all my brothers too much, and she knows I feel that way. I've told her that.
Right. Well, I think what's great, it's funny because it took me a while to figure out your ethnicity, which I think it has to be an advantage, right? Because you could pass for white, you could pass for black, you could pass for Arab, you could pass for Latin, you could pass for everything.
I'm literally
you're like the Paula Abdul of porn. You're like the Mariah Carey of porn.
I'm ethnically what is it?
Ethically, yeah.
Thank you. Ambiguous.
Ethically ambiguous.
My tongue hasn't quite caught up this afternoon.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. Ethically ambiguous
if you have a shoot later, you might want to work on that.
I am shooting, but it's all solo, so it's okay. Oh,
okay. All right.
I'm just talking dirty to cameras.
Oh, good. Well, that's what we love. But yeah, but being ethnically ambiguous must be an advantage, right?
It's very much an advantage most of the time. You know, you get people who make their assumptions, and I've definitely dealt with my fair share of, you know, racism. But I also kind of just laugh about it because.
Have you really?
Oh, God. Yeah. Because people will say things to me that they think I'm Arabic. I'm laughing because I'm like, you're way off of it. That's funny.
But yeah, have you ever had shoots where like you're wearing like a burqa or something or like a
hijab? I won't do anything that actually involves ethnicity unless it's my actual ethnicity. Like I did a Day of the Dead shoot. Okay. But I've been asked by those cultures and communities to wear, you know, to engage in that role play. And I don't do it because I don't want to be offensive and or, you know, accused of cultural, you know, misappropriation. Yeah, yeah. So I will do a custom video if they will send me those things. Mm. But 17 years, guess how many times that's happened?
Zero.
Yeah. They like to ask for things, but not pay for them.
Well, that's a thing. I was listening to one of the podcasts you were on recently, and you were saying that like you get so your DMs on Instagram just get blown up, not just with dick pics, but people just want to be, and you're like, here's my links. Tell Nicole the whole story because this is great. This is what Nicole should do with her fans too.
I don't know which part you're talking about.
Everybody wants to talk to you and be your friend and be your want you to be their boyfriend, their girlfriend. They want to be your boyfriend. And you're like, if you want to communicate with me, send me an email. I'll send you a link and you send me money and we'll communicate. You don't send me money. You're not serious.
Well, it's not so much even about being serious, but I got to prioritize. Right. If I answered every single person who wanted, let me ask you a question. Will you marry me? Like, can you imagine if I answered the amount of time? That's a job by itself.
How many marriage proposals do you get a day?
Maybe about five. I woke up. There were three in my DMs. They're obviously not real. And I usually, you know, if I want to be a smart ass, I will respond and be like, can you afford to have me as your wife? I'm expensive. I know because I pay for myself. Do what it costs to be me. That's all coming from, you know, their fantasies and this idea that women need to be married and we're all looking for that. Like, honey, I'm almost 50 years old. This is not a priority to me and it is not going to make or break my life at this point. Come on.
Right.
You'll be lucky if I said I would marry you.
Right. Oh, trust me. Well, I almost had a girl propose marriage to me. She was 79. It's a whole story, but
Sounds exciting.
Older women love me. What can I tell you? But I can charm them. But what I was gonna get to is that you started porn relatively late, I would think, like hardcore. In your 30s, right?
Yeah, hardcore. I entered the industry as a whole. I was already 32.
Right.
31 or 32. And
were you already doing like pinup and nudes and stuff?
Pinup and nudes. Yeah. Erotic nudes. And, you know, content creation wasn't what is today. So, you know, doing a couple, you know, jiggling my boob videos and things like that were like, it was just real, real, real soft core and very, very like mild. Like we weren't doing elaborate videos. It was just, oh, I'm cute by the pool. And look at my, you know, really heavy boobs. where now it's a
sounds,
whole
sounds like, good to me.
Yeah, but now it's a whole like big intentional, you know, I'm gonna splash this water out of the pool kind of situation.
Well, you evolve. Filming techniques get better.
So we've all evolved in the industry. And then I didn't start shooting boy girl like full hardcore till 2012. I just wasn't ready and it wasn't something I thought I was capable of doing. Like you know, I grew up in a very religious, you know, Christian home. I wasn't promiscuous. I didn't have a lot of sexual partners, didn't have a lot of sexual experience. Not for lack of opportunity.
You were married at one point, you had a child very young.
And I was with him and that was it. So there wasn't a lot. I mean, I didn't even watch porn because it was so taboo. And I don't know, it was just the birth of the internet and, you know, accessibility to things. I was, you know, became more aware of stuff. And then
you were aware that there were bigger dicks around and
I had no idea that my ex-husband had such a small penis. I didn't know.
Wow. When you're talking small, how small are we talking about? Yeah. Does he know if he's listening to us, he knows he has a small dick. But
he pays attention to what I do and what I listen to or what I say. I don't think he has anything to do with my online persona because he's on a short leash.
No pun intended.
Yeah, yeah. His current wife won't even let him acknowledge his first daughter, which is my daughter. So yeah, it's awful. So because she reminds, I guess it triggers her. She reminds her too much of me and wants to keep me out of sight, out of mind, which is perfectly fine with me. I have nothing, right. That was a high school. You know, I should have left that in high school.
Right. Honey, that small dick is yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Have fun with that. Yeah. I would say, the average, I couldn't tell you. I hardly remember. I would just say that most guys soft is him fully hard.
sorry to hear that.
And hey, it works for some people, but I like just more than that.
I would think so. But so
I like at least average. Like, I mean, I'm not a size queen or anything. But
I'm not a size queen either, but I definitely enjoy a nice girthy, a good size. I mean, I don't want to.
Right.
I'm a size queen,
but that, I don't want to get into that. But
yeah. Well, then I am you.
Like I say, I'm blissfully average, but girthy. So there you go. So
makes a difference.
But yeah, and I'll tell you, because this guy was not a sexy guy, but. Tell me, Sophia, there's nothing sexier than a great smelling man, right?
A man who smells good is very important. And I've been saying that since the beginning of my first published, photo set, a man with good hygiene, because if you smell good, I mean.
That lets you know he's taking care of himself.
Yeah. And the thing is, like me, I'm particular with smells. So it's not just because a guy thinks he smells good doesn't mean he smells good to me. But,
right.
And well, there is such a thing as too much, guys. You need to chill on some of this stuff. It's like, well, wow.
I'll tell you guys, if you want to smell just right, not too stinky and not too much, get Tactical Soap. That is one of our sponsors. Tactical Soap is pheromone infused soap.
I bet you that is amazing.
Oh, it's really good. Yeah. They've got Maverick, Durden, and Bond. And they have three different types of those. Get your soap.
I want to smell them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got some Bond on right now. And,
Maverick smells real good.
I'm sure the Maverick smells great. So go to the description in the podcast catcher or on YouTube. Get your Tactical Soap. Smell good, and the ladies will love it. Now, what prompted you in your 30s? As a single mom with a teen daughter to get into hardcore.
Well, are you talking about after I started the modeling portion and then went into the hardcore?
Well, how did you get into modeling first? And then how did you get into
I was in an AOL chat room.
You might have to explain that for the younger viewers.
The younger viewers. Yes.
There used to be a thing called AOL.
Yeah. America Online, little chat rooms, and it was a photographer found me in there and was like, you should be doing this. It was a late night and I ended up in a Denny's with him. We had breakfast and I looked at his portfolio and then we did some test shots. I sent those in and it was just this response was something I had never expected. And online and internet and all that stuff was still new, it had just been born and it was still very unheard of. And I thought this guy was just trying to fuck me, which he was. But but he was a genuine photographer who did shoot me.
How do you screen the, because I know Nicole's been taking some pictures and having some bad experiences with photographers.
So now screening is the whole thing because everybody's a photographer. Anybody with a phone is a photographer now.
Right.
Back then, I would never do what I did in 2006 now. No way. Because I probably would have ended up in, a situation.
A ditch.
But I mean, no, that guy, he was a great guy. So he wasn't hurt me. But you don't know that. You don't know that. I mean, he was a legit photographer. He had a legit portfolio, like an actual portfolio back in the day. We didn't have online portfolios yet. And he was a wedding photographer. He was married. He had shot a lot of stuff over, he had a real career. So I should show, the safest way I could. And at the time, you know, you talk to someone and it's like, yeah, you know what? There's a Denny's right down the street. I'll meet you there. It's a public place. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like 5:30 in the morning. We had both been out and I just happened to get online just to be stupid while I calmed down before I went to bed. And mm-hmm. I didn't go to bed. I ended up at Denny's, met this guy, Marvin, did the test shot, sent those in. And I just got an overwhelming response in 48 hours. And then just there it went.
Right.
I'll say this, real photographers still try to get everybody naked. Like every photographer I've ever worked with has tried at least to ask if I will do nudes. So it's very common. Like even if they are professional photographers, they just want to push the envelope.
And they do want to fuck you.
Well, yeah. They want to see you naked. They want to have sex with you. Sure. But at the same time, now that's not. You still get guys that try, but they're just sliding in my DMs. The legitimate people approach me properly. I don't get the scams like anywhere on the level that I know newer talent does. And I don't get the scams, they're not being aggressive with, they're afraid because they know, I am who I am. So, you know, you're going to push the envelope with me. I'm going to call you out, blast you and ruin your entire fucking career in a tweet. Yeah. So
that makes sense.
Right. So they're not going to do that. not with me anyway. That doesn't mean that, I've definitely come across photographers who, you know, behaved with me and not with other people.
So how did you transition from that to hardcore?
So the hardcore truly, I had been wanting to do it. I just wasn't ready to, like I said, I didn't think I could just meet someone and have sex with them. Like it was really? Just like, what? Well, because my background, like I didn't.
But even though I've heard you say, what a superhuman sex drive you have
now, because now I'm aware of it and know things that I didn't know at 30, because I had been in one relationship for 15 years with one person, mm-hmm. you know? So I didn't have all this experience and the world was much different in those 15 years. So, once I got,
but you didn't fantasize about it. You didn't masturbate.
I didn't masturbate. No.
Wow.
When I was masturbation was a sin.
I wasn't taught that. I just really had no desire. And I was with this guy and had really been raised like I'm his wife. It was just my duty to have sex and keep him happy. And so I just did what I had to do because I wanted to go to bed. I was like, you know, I wasn't even an enthusiastic participant. When I look back, it was like, wow.
All the mind-blowing sex you're having now.
Yeah.
You want to know the only thing I did then that should have been a flag to all of us was we did have a camcorder and he loved blowjobs. So he created his own porno.
How unique.
Yeah. Like he asked me to let him record me. It's my husband. So I was like, sure, why not? And then he recorded it and looped it. And he would watch that on his own over and over. It was me.
Just over and over?
Right. Without coming? He would no, like obviously he'd finish. I don't know. I was never there when
like he just kept looping you just like.
Yeah, but my point was that, he didn't watch what was me sucking his dick. But he didn't watch porn because I think he knew he had a small dick. So he didn't want to see that. And I didn't because I didn't. Like what for? Mm-hmm. You know? But I would come home and he's got, you know, in my bedroom there, I'd walk in my bedroom and then the TV, there I am sucking his dick and he just would be jerking off to it. So,
okay,
whatever. But we should have known that I wasn't camera shy and I wasn't saying no. So,
right.
To the best of my knowledge, I have never been on film, but I do enjoy giving a good blowjob.
Right. If you're enthusiastic about something and it looks good,
Well, now we're getting somewhere because I know Sophia loves blowjobs.
I do.
Maybe even more than vaginal sex, from what I understand.
Well, if it's a partner that I'm enjoying, like that I am just in love with and adore, I'm worshiping that dick.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, but that dick doesn't control me. Do you know what I mean? That one I like.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I'm like.
But you enjoy receiving oral.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That didn't happen till later in my 30s too.
Oh, do tell.
No, you just, you know, when it's, I had been doing it all those years, letting my husband do it because it was what he wanted. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is doing nothing for me. But then, yeah, you know, you get a little bit more experience. You have partners that are more experienced and they do things differently and right. And now it's like, that's a prerequisite. That is
okay.
When I masturbate, I have a machine that does just that.
Wow.
And that is my go-to. So.
Now, here's the question, because we had Ella Darling on a couple times, and she said that 69 is her least favorite position.
It's absolutely what I hate. It is.
So
what
you're
I hate.
You're with this too, okay?
Yeah.
I love it.
Right, guys love it because you want to just have what you want in front of your face.
No, that's not why. That's not okay. Why.
Well, I will tell you from my perspective, and it's okay. Probably even different from other women.
All right.
Because I am bigger. I don't want to be worried about where my thighs are and where my legs are. And I want to be able to just like, I like to be a pillow princess. I want to sit back and just enjoy it. And there's something about me looking over my boobs and seeing a man's eyes. I can barely see his eyes and I love it.
Okay.
And I think my ego is just like, this is very powerful because it's like, I could literally crush you right now. And it's all equal. It's equally powerful when I'm on, you know, 69, but I can't focus on receiving and truly enjoy it when I'm trying to do a stellar blowjob.
That's exactly what she said.
My ultimate favorite way to give a blowjob is actually with my laying on my back with my head back, and we don't do it too much in porn. I think I've done it once or twice because I can deep throw the furthest. Yeah.
Hmm.
So
nice. I'll tell you why I like 69 is because when you do it right, she has to stop blowing you and she really gets into it. And then when she's doing it right, you have to stop licking and you're getting into it. So it turns into like this contest, like who could turn who on the best. That's why I like it.
Yeah, so it's apparently
professionals don't. So you and Ella are not with it. And speaking of her, let me ask you this, because I asked her this, and I've asked almost every porn star I've had on here.
Okay.
Almost, and there's exceptions, but almost every adult person in the adult entertainment industry that I've interviewed and talked to has been supremely intelligent, very uh-huh. very smart. Has that been your experience, and why do you think that is?
I really feel like the community as a whole, we're pretty smart people. We're business people. We're entrepreneurs. We run successful businesses, and we have. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm stupid. I'm educated.
Well, you're definitely not. That's what I'm saying. You're very articulate.
Articulate, and, yeah. We're not what people expect us to be. Not what you expect.
Yeah, the stereotype is some 18-year-old uneducated runaway and she's stupid.
Has a drug problem, alcohol problem.
Right. Yeah. And Nicole will back me up on this. The adult film stars that we've interviewed are so not like that.
I'm not going to pretend that those people don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have the young, naive, you know, that definitely happens. But as a whole, in today's world, no. And everybody I know that I, you know, consider people I fuck with, for lack of just a better way of saying it, are all have separate businesses that they've taken their careers. We've taken our porn careers and created something separate that's going to carry us on to our, you know, life beyond porn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and whether it's investments or whatever they're doing. And I feel like that's more and more common, and even keeping it within the industry. I mean, property investments, those turn into, shoot locations, and you're already within the industry. So you have the connections and you're making a ridiculous income just on a property because mm-hmm. you're smart. So I just think there's a lot of very intelligent people, and yeah, we're not what, I feel like we're smart. We're capitalizing on something everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's the mindset we all should have. Why not get paid to do something you're going to do anyway?
Right. Right. Well, the thing is, I went out on a date with somebody a couple months ago, and she was like, oh, people told me that having an OnlyFans page is easy. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do any nudity. I got pretty feet and I'll put my, and like, she's like, it's easy. I can make like 10 grand a month. I'm like, look, I know people in the industry and I know people that have OnlyFans. I know people all sorts of places. It's not easy. It's a full-time job. That's what that's another thing people don't understand. For you, it's I mean, you got to get up early. You got to, I mean, just the fucking on camera is just a little bit portion of your day.
Everybody thinks that it's easy to lay back and take a dick. That's the most common insult you hear from incels, people, trolls on the internet. Your job is so hard to lay back and take a dick. Right.
And first, trust me, from my experience, it's not. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Go ahead. You were saying.
Yeah. And it's not, and it isn't just taking a dick. And there is, I mean, people don't understand, like, I have 9 employees. Okay. I, by being in this industry, and I have this document somewhere on one of my drives, you know, there's so many industries one sex worker independently touches. There's the banking industry. There's the internet, the host, the people, the tech people who help create and build things, the support techs, right? That's just the beginning. Now I've got to hire photographers. I need to purchase lighting. I'm purchasing camera equipment. I'm contributing to the society and, you know, the way things turn in this world. And people think we're just sitting here having sex.
Right.
It's not that easy. There is a whole business. We pay taxes. We pay a lot of taxes. And I truly just think that a lot of the hate, the stigma, and a lot of the things that people say negatively about people with OnlyFans or doing anything adult related are just angry that they don't have what it takes to put that part of them aside and say, I'm going to have sex with my partner anyway. Let me just film it and get paid to do it.
Right.
They're just mad about that.
Right.
Just like I feel like when anybody does something that you want, like people, it's natural to feel a little bit of jealousy, but they just misguide it. And instead of just saying, yeah, I wish I just had that confidence. I wish I wasn't afraid of this or that. They change it to, I could never do that. Well, you know what? Probably good, because no one wants to watch you anyway. You know?
But they want to watch you. How did you get into the hardcore? Now, how did this
happen? So that really just came out of necessity. I had been asked and asked and asked, and I was like, I just cannot have sex with a random stranger. I was dating someone at the time who had a bad drug addiction, wasn't putting it together. He was all for it. Well, that's because he wanted my money after the shoots.
Every beautiful woman I know dates the worst fucking men.
I've done that too.
Every woman I know has a horrible taste in men, but that's
It's because I like to try to fix people, and I should stop doing that. I have stopped doing that.
Oh, good.
So I
fix them with your pussy. That's what you need to
do.
Well,
I was doing that too.
Okay. All right.
So I went and did it, and not only was my experience positive, like careful everybody was, how cautious there were procedures in place to make me feel comfortable, because I really didn't know what to expect. And big shout out to, you know, Clint at Plumper Pass. He did a great job, and I had been a bitch to him.
It was a Plumper Pass video.
Was my first one. Yeah. And he, you know, I was a bitch. I mean, I was a cunt to him for 6-7 years.
Like,
it's okay. Oh, I would block him on AOL. I would block him on Yahoo Messenger. Like, you're just trying to see me naked. You're just trying to fuck me. And I'm like, didn't realize he was really a producer, was really, you know, ran a legitimate business. Didn't matter if other people told me he was legit, because I thought, well, you're just fucking him too. You know, like, I was not believing anything. And he would just say, hey, I understand how you feel. Like, I'm here when you're ready. Always kept a good, you know, kept it good with me. And then, I was going to try to do it in 2011. I was like, okay, I'll do it. And if I can bring my own male talent someone I feel like I have good chemistry with, that I can have sex with and won't feel like, you know, this is a stranger. And he agreed to it, but was not very happy about it. That didn't work out. So then I didn't do it. And then the next year, the following year, was when I was dating this guy. And he was like, you know, I was like, look, I was asked again. I keep saying no. I want to do it. He was like, go for it. Do it. You know, he had his own ulterior motives, and I didn't put all that together till after the fact. And then, but what the response we got from that first video, and then the second, was just, I broke the internet. Yeah. So
you've broken the internet a few times.
It's true. I have broken it a few times. And I was pretty cool. And then just from there, you know, I my career just really exploded. Then Brazzers had seen me at AVN 17, 18, maybe.
Right.
And they had briefly put me on camera and, you know, signed a release.
Right.
And then I had kept a conversation going on with Reality Kings and was trying to, like, somebody shoot me. I'm telling you, this is different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, well, we've tried, you know, BBWs just don't sell. There's not a market. I'm like, I literally have my own fan base that would just make this ridiculous. So I had been trying and trying and trying, wasn't going anywhere. And then just randomly, I get a call. We're going to relaunch this one portion. We'd like to, you know, kind of make you the face of it. That didn't even happen. It ended up on Brazzers. It was shot for Reality Kings, went on Brazzers. It went viral. And the next thing I knew, like, my career had another just massive boost. And I'm
well, that's the thing.
You're
the queen of BBWs.
What just happened? Yeah.
And now you're the queen of everybody. You transcended BBW because there's not a lot of BBWs that get on Brazzers.
Well, they've shot multiple now, and I'm very proud of that. But
you were the first.
Or there were others. There were others before me. They just didn't make the impact that I did.
Right.
That's what happened. They didn't. It was more fetishized. And it was a one-time thing, or once every 2 or 3 years for some years. Mm-hmm. But when I came in, I don't know why that one went viral. Michael Vegas and I have great chemistry. He's such a good guy.
You know? What was the scene? What got viral?
It was the one in the blue leggings and the white where I'm. I think they called me dummy thick yoga or something like that on Pornhub.
Yeah.
And it went viral. Him ripping those leggings off me went viral.
Right.
The leggings went viral.
I was going to get to that. You sold a lot of leggings.
And the next thing I know is Brazzers was like, bring me back. Can I have you back? Let's do this. Let's do that. And they were shooting me, and I shot a dozen scenes like very quickly. And I think it was by my second scene that there was rumors of a contract. The contract never happened. I wanted one. Didn't happen. I wanted to be that barrier. I wanted to break that first barrier. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. And it's okay with me because I feel like it made the impact I wanted to make. And I'm hoping this next generation of young women carry it. It hasn't looked promising so far. But unfortunately, I think what's happening is, you know, you're bringing in 19, 20, 21 year old, 22 year olds, they look good. They might do a good job, but their reputations aren't the greatest. Their work reputations aren't the greatest. They're not maintaining any exclusivity because of OnlyFans.
Right.
And it doesn't turn. And turn is an industry term, meaning you don't get any return. You're not getting a return on that investment. Mm-hmm. Not to the level, I guess, where they have gotten with me. This is all my own assumptions. This is not facts. I don't not talk to anybody who's told me this. But it's what I'm seeing the trend to be. And I think that if they were doing well, if they were turning well, they would be asked back multiple times. Well, when someone reaches out to me and says, hi, are you comfortable with this? And gives me a list, you know, we want to put you back on the roster.
Right.
I'm going, this isn't going how they thought it was going to go. And people aren't returning as they thought it they should. So that kind of saddens me. But at the same time, you know, being a nearly 50-year-old woman in porn, it's like, oh, I'm still doing something right.
What are you comfortable doing that other women are not comfortable
It's not that I'm comfortable with something. It's that I show up prepared for work. I'm sober. I'm never high or under the influence of anything.
Right.
I am tested. I'm showered. I'm clean. These are just basics. But when you're 19,
showering is a basic.
Oh, God, yeah. When you're 19 and 20 and you're all about trying to make your career and be this and be that, you neglect a lot of things. They show up with dirty hair, extensions not in, you know, partying until 4 and then showing up on set at 7. Like, you're not rested. You don't look your best. I am very, very professional, and I will make sure I'm rested, make sure I'm tested, make sure I'm clean and ready to go. Very communicative. I don't, you know, these, and I think that's what it is. It's just too many of, oh, we shot this girl. It did well, but she did this, this, and this. And now we don't want to, that's a questionable person to deal with at this point.
Right. Excuse me. That's okay. Wow.
So I think reputation, and these women are not, they don't have a coach. They don't have a mentor. Someone's saying you need to present yourself well. we have to continue to play the game and raise and elevate the standard for a BBW, because mm-hmm. we're still pushing against the stigma. And I can't preach enough to these girls to get them, you know, I can't make anyone do anything. So if right. they don't want to show up prepared, then there's nothing I can do. And I will just say, you know, I will cross each bridge when it comes to it, when the opportunities right. come, if I'm going to take them or not. But I really thought that, you know, like I was shocked to get that call to this last couple months.
Right.
Like, well, really, these girls aren't doing it. Like, this is.
They're not shallow.
So, I don't know. I've heard so many stories and it's just, you know, as a human being, that's just disgusting. Like, I'm not going to go from one set to another. I'm not going to go from one partner to another, but people do right. it. And I've never done that. And, you know, like I like to be sober and I like to be very present. I like to be fully aware of everything I'm doing. And that's just me as a person every day. That has, you know, nothing to do with a porn set. Like I treat this like a job. I treated it like a career, like a, you know, I wasn't going to a traditional 9-to-5. But if you're 19 years old and you start into the porn industry, have you ever had a real job? Like, and I shouldn't say, let me correct that. Not a real job, a traditional job. Do you know what it's like to have to, you know, get your clothes and go to a 9 o'clock start time and, mm-hmm. you know, be in a office setting and, you know, have some decorum. You know, a lot of these people don't. They just, right. you know, a girl could be right out of high school, 19 years old, 20 years old from another, you know, from Canada, things are different, you know, shows up on set. Just, it's just so many factors. So I'm a little disappointed about that right now. And like, just going, wow, I thought, you know, it was going to really take off and it hasn't. So.
Well, I think what's funny about the many videos I've researched of you, there is a lot of gym stuff, a lot of personal trainers having their way with you.
Isn't that funny?
I think it's great. And but also, I mean, you're a big girl, obviously.
I'm not but you're, small.
But you're in good shape.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm very healthy. I'm in pretty good shape. Like, I mean, I was an athlete before I was gained weight. My body knows that.
I mean, just from what I've seen, you've worn out some of these jack guys. They can't keep up.
That's real life. That's real life. In my real life, I wear out people. I've dated young guys thinking that would change things, wore them out too. But it's not like I'm walking around trying to fuck every guy that walks by me. I'm not that kind of,
You probably have your own type, you know?
Like, yeah. What is your type?
I
don't think I have a type.
You got a type. Let me ask you this. Cause I'm sure I asked you this at the BBW con. Let me ask you again. Why isn't there a BBM?
There is.
Why aren't there big, beautiful men?
They're called BHM, big, handsome men.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
In the gay community,
yes, but in the straight community, no.
No, we have BBW and BHM parties all the time, right side by side.
You tell me, where I'll be there.
They're all over Vegas, anybody who's running a BBW party event or those pop ups that are all across the nation, they're usually hosting a BHM as well. If it's not at the same time, it's around the same time. And I've been seeing that for probably a good 10 years now.
Really? I haven't.
And I think it's harder because men aren't, catered to that way, you know, and an overweight man can go into a club easier than an overweight woman, as you've experienced, right?
I would say bullshit. Right.
You're
there.
Right. It is. It's not always the rule, but it's more socially acceptable than we are.
No, it's not. Absolutely,
I think that
not.
We're held to a different standard. Absolutely. So, well, that, I think
I know so many men that are into BBWs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the videos that I've seen of you and other BBWs, it's a lot of skinny guys, like really super skinny guys with you, for the contrast. I get that.
Yes.
But I don't think I've ever seen a porn video with an overweight man, ever. Except for Ron Jeremy, and I wouldn't even count that.
Ron Jeremy's reputation.
That's a whole different thing. Yeah.
There are several creators currently out there that I know of that shoot, and they are BHMs. and they are doing well. And they are doing well.
Gay videos or straight videos? I'm talking straight videos.
Straight.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it.
Yes. You better research this BHM stuff, Mark.
Research it. I want to find a BHM porn star and
That there are so I did Heavy on Hotties in France.
Heavy on Hotties. Okay, tell me about that.
Okay. So Heavy on Hotties, he's definitely a dad bot. More a relatable dad bot. I can't think of the guy's name right here in Vegas off the top of my head, but he is very obese.
Okay.
Wonderful guy. Great personality. He has all sizes.
Well, of course he's got a great personality. He's a fat guy. He has to develop one.
But he has all sizes of beautiful women running through his content, and you would be shocked. Right.
Well, I would. I guess I would.
But he does very well. But he has his challenges. And I think what it is, you have to remember, who's the audience of porn? I mean, now there's more women buying porn than ever, but who is his target audience?
It's
other men who feel he's relatable.
Well, it's other men that also are into that too.
Right. So
anyway, I don't want to get off on that. So yeah, the BBW thing. Now, I heard you talking on another podcast because I want to get to this because there's some BBW stuff you won't do.
Yes, there is some things I don't like to engage in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Such as you don't want to stuff yourself?
No. I've done a few stuffing and eating videos, but I don't want to further that narrative. And I think that it is still a fetish. There are people who enjoy it. There's a variety of reasons why people enjoy it, but I'm not trying to promote being unhealthy. I'm not trying to say, yeah, let's gorge ourselves on all the shitty food every time we get together. So it's not something I feel in good conscience that I can do. I don't want to do it. I've done a few in the past, and I say those are now considered vintage and you should hold on to them because I won't be doing them again.
Now, what are the most unusual requests that you get, whether it's BBW related or not? Tell me, you're rolling your eyes. You got to tell me what you're thinking right now.
Armpits is something I don't get. That's been really coming, trending actually. I don't do scat fetish. There's so much of that. I don't know why they feel like big women, you know, like that's different than anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, skinny women shit too. I mean, I don't know what they're at.
So why do they want the scat fetish with?
Or do they, Nicole? Tell me. I don't know.
I mean, I've had a guy ask me to do it. I refused. But like just for personal pleasure in the bedroom. And that was kind of the end of me seeing him. And he even told me, I'm afraid my fetishes will scare you away. And he was right.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I won't do them. Yeah.
Do you pee or no?
I haven't done it, but I've done it in real life. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll do it to people when they want it. Most fetishes I'm pretty friendly with, but things that I just feel like they're just not good for what I represent. I don't.
What about feet? We had a good foot discussion a couple of weeks ago.
I have no problem with feet. I do those as customs though, because they're so valuable. So
really?
I've gone so far as blurring my feet out on Instagram.
Oh, what? Wow.
Yeah, because guys will, there's certain photos, it's so weird, but I'll get like an extra amount of comments on my feet. So then I'm like, well, let me blur my feet for a while. Or I put little notes on my feet, says subscribe to see my feet.
Wow.
Because I'm like, you're not going to even be like, oh, her feet. But they will, they'll message me and be like, can I get, you know, 20 photos, this. I had one guy for a long time. Who liked me to take pictures of me, which is sitting in short skirts crossing my legs. But he wanted to see from the tip of my toe all the way up to my thigh. It wasn't about panties. It wasn't about pussy. It was that he liked the dimples.
He liked your legs.
He liked my legs, the sheer size of my legs, but the dimples on them all the way down to my toes.
Hmm.
So
there's people with cellulite fetishes.
There are lots of men who enjoy... They call them FAs, fat admirers, men that enjoy not only cellulite, but dimples, stretch marks. They like to see texture and, you know, these tend to be the more touchy guys too. And they like flesh fetishes. Those are all very real. I've experienced them all. They're not necessarily bad. If anything, you know, like I like to be touched and played with, and there's a lot of me to touch and play with. So do it, you know, it feels great most of the time, you know, sometimes people forget body parts are attached.
Right.
You can't pull that off me. It hurts. But anyway,
what if they try to pull, breasts, I would assume, if they try to pull off?
My boobs get tugged on like they are, you know, it's like that is attached to my body. Like you can't. Right. Yeah. I've had people hug my ass like it's an individual like thing to hug. I mean,
it is a big ass, let's be honest.
It does kind of have its own zip code, but I'm just saying like that is attached to me.
When I was at BBW Con, I did a tape measure on somebody's ass. It was 60 inches. How big is your ass?
56.
Okay. So that's about right.
All the way around. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good. And it's nice. Mm-hmm. Trust me. I've seen it, but.
Thanks.
you got a great body. It's curvy. That's what's great about it.
I got lucky. Yes. Well, I got lucky to be proportionate. Yeah.
You got lucky, but you know, you do work out to maintain it. It's
yeah. And I've had some help with surgeons too. So
oh, have you really, but not in your breasts. Your breasts are all normal.
Yeah. My tummy tuck. Yeah.
Okay. So you got a tummy tuck.
Yeah, I had my tummy tuck. Yeah.
And I've read, they said your breasts were 38 J.
The bra I'm wearing, my bra right now I'm wearing is a 40 K.
Okay. Wow. That makes that would make more sense to me.
Yeah. My bras are huge. My bras are ridiculous. They take up a lot.
It's tough to find them too.
It's easier than it ever was. But they take up a lot of real estate. I'll just say that. Like I need my own dresser or my own dedicated closet for just the size of my bras. It's
you could sail a boat with your bras.
I could cover a whole nation and keep them, you know, shaded. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Make a tent with those bras.
Yeah,
but yeah, so yeah, I'm sure men are just obsessed with your breasts.
Sometimes, yeah. You get a breast man, or you know, somebody who likes everything. There's you know, you get the BBW, the guys that like just big women, a full woman, and they want to feel everything. So
right,
you know, I'm lucky if I get that.
Right. So and if you're unlucky, you get all the armpit guys.
Yeah, I get the armpit guys or the feet guys.
The feet guys. Oh, geez, and yeah. But like I say, you have transcended BBW now. When you've done scenes with men that you're their first BBW, they must go crazy.
I have had multiple times been told I've never been with someone your size before. And then they're like, wow, that was fun. Or, you know. I can't tell you how many times they go, oh, I know you're a BBW, but you don't seem that big to me. You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell you how many times I hear, yeah, but you're not fat. I'm like, no, I am fat. Like, I absolutely am fat, but it's not a bad word. Like, that's appropriate. I am fat. I am plus size. Right. I am voluptuous. I'm whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I have fat all over my, what are my boobs? Boobs are fat sacks. Like, it's just fat.
They're beautiful fat sacks, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. Everybody likes them, so they feel nice. But so is an ass. Ass is
This is going back full circle to the confidence that you have.
So it's just sort of like, they are like, I don't really look. I mean, how many guys have said, I don't even know why we have to call you a BBW, because you're a beautiful woman. That's it.
Yes.
You're a woman. I don't know why we have to categorize. Well, for porn, we have to, you know?
Right.
It's a proper description, but the way that I've been welcomed and celebrated throughout the industry has been something that's a side bonus of everything I've accomplished. And I love that so many people within the Brazzers family, but just in the industry as a whole have, like you said, transcended. I'm known for being the BBW, but people don't come to me because of that anymore.
Right. I don't think
not to me anymore. Now, it doesn't mean that still doesn't exist. It does. But I'm saying they come to Sophia as a performer, as talent, as someone, you know, who's articulate and can, you know, carry a podcast conversation.
Apparently so. Yeah.
You know, they come to me for, you know, hey, we need a liaison between a model and a director, and just so that we have someone that makes the model feel comfortable, things like that. I'm glad to be all of those things and associated that way.
That's great.
You know, but I feel like I've accomplished a lot, and I don't want
you to have, just you have
as and, my and, size.
And you're just getting started. I mean, and you know, I haven't seen that much MILF stuff, and you've been a MILF the whole time.
Right. Isn't that funny? Because I became so this, but so much of my stuff is MILFy.
Well, you don't look your age. I mean, I've seen a couple. I've seen a couple. That's why I don't watch a lot of porn these days. I got to be honest with you, because it's all incest and I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand the constant step brother, step sister, you know.
And I didn't have step siblings, so I don't get it. But
I mean, and I did, and I never wanted to have sex with anybody, so I don't get it.
And trust me, I'm freaky, and I like a lot of weird things, but I don't want to fuck my aunt, so I don't get the whole porn thing. That and the other thing I don't like is when they like hock loogies on the dick. It's just gross to me.
I don't understand that either, but I guess there's fetishes for everything, and things that are very, you know, there's guys that really like women who gag and throw up on their dick.
Right.
Like, to me, that's like, first of all, as the woman, I don't want to throw up on it. I want to choke, but I don't want to throw up.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I get the power dynamic, but yeah, it's just,
I've definitely thrown up on some, but I didn't mean to.
Right. Well, you threw up on your ex-husband's because it was so small.
That was before. Anyway, but yeah. So
what's that? A toothpick? Yeah. But
it's so sad. Like, I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm bagging on your ex-husband, but anyway. But I now it's you're in Las Vegas, and
yes.
I used to live in Las Vegas, so I used to go to porn karaoke. I know a lot of, you know,
I haven't been in years.
Oh yeah.
I haven't been to porn karaoke in years.
I don't think anybody's been to porn karaoke in years, but
after the pandemic, I haven't heard a word about it since the pandemic.
Yeah, they're probably still trying to figure it out, but that's where porn really is these days. It's not in the San Fernando Valley anymore. All the good porn stars over there.
We're all in Vegas. Yeah. Well, California made it hard, made it difficult, no pun intended, but they did make it difficult to continue to produce in California. So, you know, Miami and Vegas are the new two hubs, and, you know, with the birth of OnlyFans and it becoming such a thing, you know, people just create their own shoot houses and their shoot events. And personally, I don't partake in those, but, it's normal now.
Right.
And so statistically, it's like 1 in 4 people are sex workers now because of OnlyFans.
There you go.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize they know someone who does it yet, and they're very judgy, which is interesting. I just think with the younger generations, it's going to be more and more common. Those younger generations are the people who, you know, they're purchasing their porn, they're online, they're like, this is normal to them now, if they're purchasing it. Some aren't, but...
It's the economy and the pandemic, and it forced people to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't. I feel like it wasn't forced, but I definitely felt like it became,
it gave people a nudge
easier. Yeah. Yes. For them to want to do it. Yeah.
Well, the reason I mention it, and this is my usual clumsy segue, but you've just been appointed to the board of directors of the Cupcake Girls.
Isn't that amazing?
Tell Nicole about the Cupcake Girls.
The Cupcake Girls. I'm super excited about the Cupcake Girls.
The irony of a BBW as a cupcake girl, but yes, please.
So the Cupcake Girls is a nonprofit organization that is, it's an industry resource for sex workers and the adult industry, for people who need a variety type of resources, you know, financial resources, but also, you know, if they're being sex trafficked, if they're trying to leave the industry, whatever it is that they need, it literally is a massive umbrella. And they have been around for, I think, 12 years now. And I think that they're a wonderful organization. I have been supporting them since 2017. And I've made many connections with other talent through the Cupcake Girls, as far as them needing financial support and me helping however I could charitably. And, you know, I really stand by what they've done. You know, they started coming to AVN and offering, you know, complimentary makeup stations and hair and things like that. And just, you know, self-care supplies, things that we need as an industry. And I think it's wonderful. And I've always thought it was wonderful. And I would go and have my makeup done. And you know, it's by donation only. These are volunteer makeup artists and hair people. They would come in and do all this stuff. And then it was based on donation. And there were times I didn't get it done and just donated to donate because I appreciated what they were doing. And they bring these little gift bags with, you know, lovely self-care products like, you know, a brown sugar scrub and a great candle, and then just other things, you know, condoms and baby wipes and lighters and whatever you could need, like just various things, makeup, Thrive Cosmetics had donated 1 year so many cosmetics, and we're giving them away to all of us.
That's great.
And I think it's amazing. And they are very supportive. And this is, you know, hugely why I want to be involved, is talking about decriminalization of sex work, and, you know, how we're going to be involved with that, raising money for all of these things. And then, you know, sex trafficking is also a major priority. And helping, you know, we want things, we want everybody to be able to work safely. And, you know, and when I say safety isn't just, who you're having sex with. It is safety from, you know, pimps and traffickers, you know, being victimized by, you know, family members, sometimes your husband, sometimes it's a mom. You never know who's making someone be involved in something that they don't want. And we want to be available to people for help and resources to escape those situations. Yeah.
That's great. It sounds like right up your alley.
It's so everything I want. And, you know, I've been involved with Pineapple Support, which is, for mental health for sex workers, and started as a need for, as a resource for, you know, our suicide rate is very high in our industry. So that was where that started. And I was very involved with them. So between these two organizations and having been involved, I've been super fortunate to be invited to, you know, be, you know, part of it in some regard. And to be asked to be on the board of directors and then interview and do well was exciting for me. I did my onboarding over the weekend, and my first actual board meeting is this week. And I'm very excited about it. And I'm very excited about the fundraising.
I said, congratulations.
Thank you. And I think that it, you know, we were talking about people in the industry being intelligent. It speaks to, you know, that I am articulate. I am intelligent. I am very forward thinking, and you know, I just want everyone to experience, you know, kindness, love, and safety to exist, you know, in whatever portion. I mean, they're very focused on prioritize the LGBT community and making sure that they are all included. It's very inclusive and diverse. And I know that part of the reason they wanted me there was to bring some diversity to the board, being one, a sex worker, person of color, being of size, and then, you know, my age. So I definitely bring a lot of different wisdom, perspective, you know, challenges, the needs.
You check all the boxes.
I check a lot of boxes, and I'm glad that I'm proud of myself for having kept my reputation there, and being well-spoken and, you know, driven. So, and the fundraiser's next, and my birthday's coming, and I keep telling people, you know, I don't need anything for my birthday. So if you want to donate to the Cupcake Girls, please do that, because that will mean more to me, because it comes under my name and it becomes part of, you know, I have an obligation, which is not difficult, obviously, but I have an obligation every year of how much money I have to raise as a director, as sitting on the board. So,
well, congratulations.
I'm very excited about it. Yeah, I'm very happy.
Everybody, make it rain for Sophia's birthday.
If every one of my followers donated $1, that would be a lot of money. Just a dollar.
Well, I think that can happen. Two more questions, I'll let you go, and I appreciate you taking the time with us.
No problem.
Now you say you're almost 50, but you're in your 40s, but how long do you think you're going to be active participant on camera?
I don't see myself slowing down anytime soon.
And you should.
I'm pretty much solo. So I, you know, am going to continue down that route. I seem to do well solo, because I can play into, you know, individual fantasies a lot better. I think that my scope is going to continue to change as I get involved in more philanthropic type of, events and communities. And I know that I'm trying to use my platform to go towards some sort of public speaking. I feel like I'm interviewing on a podcast at least once a week. So there's, you know, we've had discussions of having my own.
You should. And I'm happy to help you practice, but
I appreciate that. Yeah. Sometimes I think it's a great idea to do a podcast. And then other times I think, being a guest is maybe more my style.
TED Talk possibly.
Because, well, I feel like there's just maybe a TED Talk, right? But I feel like I understand that there's a lot that goes into a podcast. It's not just turning on the camera either. Right. You know, people just think it's so easy. And it's like, you know, is that something I really want to get into and really dedicate time to? I don't know. I hate saying it like this, but I'm enjoying my life so much.
Well, you should never
say. Do I want to take on something else? Yeah. So it's like, I enjoy my life.
That's a lot of work. He does research. He does editing.
Yeah.
Does-
yes. I know. Right,
stop it. But I was going to say, Sophia works much harder than I was. The last question I had for you, are there any fantasies you have not fulfilled yet? Is there any sexual fantasies that, see, something's coming to mind right now that you've always wanted to, I'm asking you. I don't know. I see it in your eyes.
Oh, you see it on my face.
I see it in your face. Your face gives everything away. You realize that. I think that's part of the
terrible.
Reason. That's part of the reason you're so sexy. Terrible.
Yeah,
am I right, Nicole? Like you could tell, like, ooh, when she's really turned on.
I have resting bitch face really bad, but
you think of naughty thoughts, you have resting naughty thoughts.
I have been told by my partners there are times where I give a look, and I'm obviously as my partner, you would see it often, but there is a look I give that makes me look like I want to devour, and I was like, because I do. Like,
okay, what were you thinking of when you were at that devour?
So I just really want to be fucked on the balcony. And I don't know why men are so shy.
You've never been fucked on a balcony? I've even done that.
No, it's just like, I have a balcony. I have a gorgeous view of, you know, the strip. Bend me the fuck over, but because we're in a neighborhood, you don't really want to do that, you know? Like, but I'm like, but that's
I did it at the Cosmo.
I wanted to do it at the Cosmo. I wanted to do it at the Palms. I wanted to do it so many. And the most I've gotten is pressed up against the window, you know, but that's not it.
Well, I'll be right over. Anyway, Sophie.
And Sophia. I mean, I don't want to just be fucked for 5 minutes either. I don't want to.
I last a long time. Sometimes an excruciatingly, frustratingly long time. I'm one of those other ways where it's like, all right, it's been a while. But anyway, I was just kidding, of course. But Sophia, you are delightful. Nicole, how great is Sophia?
Awesome, totally awesome.
Yes.
Well, Sophia, thank you.
Please, anything you want to plug, this floor is yours. Just whatever you want people to know about, cupcakes, pineapples, whatever you want to plug.
All my favorite things. Just you can find all my official links because they are always changing to social media terms of service. So I love SophiaRose.live, which is live. I love SophiaRose.live is where you can find all of my official links, including my OnlyFans and my ePlay stream, which is my live stream. Mm-hmm. I have not been on in over a month, but I will be getting back there this week and will be on 3 to 4 times a week. Playing Call of Duty. I'm a gamer. Have a great time on there. I love playing with. I love playing.
Next time, maybe. Yeah.
And if you guys, if you don't know
this. Now, do you play in the nude? Is that what happens?
Yes. That's what I was saying. It is I don't start nude, but we get nude. I twerk. I, you know, do all kinds of things. I had twerk? Talked about. Yeah, but only live. and so, yeah, like there's, you know, that to see me live and get to interact with me, that is where you go. The live stream on ePlay to chat with me, to get to know me, to talk to me, please go to my OnlyFans, but you can also do that on the ePlay as well. And I am launching a Fansly shortly so that, you know, those users that enjoy that platform will be able to find me there. Just one more thing. See why I can't take a podcast on. And then that's it. You can always email me, but you're going to get a faster, more honest response on my paid platforms.
There you go. And have some imagination. And you know, what's going to happen is your DMs are going to be packed with people. I want to fuck you on the balcony. So you're going to have a lot of those. So
tell me about it on my OnlyFans. There's a free page and there is a paid page.
Do it on the OnlyFans.
We will talk about that.
Well, you should also check out Nicole's new poetry book, Slow Burn. And Nicole, tell everybody how they get a hold of you and everything you got going on.
I'm Nicole H6 on Facebook and Nicole 6 Books on Instagram and Threads. I just started a Threads account. It seems to be going well and I like it. So if you miss me on Twitter, come check out my Threads. And my link to my book is in all my bios.
Yeah, and I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. I'll be in Vegas soon, likely on a balcony. But everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.